Chapter 4, The War of Words, August 2002. In August 2002, the tone of the Bush administration's rhetoric changed sharply. That was the month, said Greg Thielman, then director of proliferation issues in the State Department's Intelligence Bureau, when the administration started speaking about Iraq in much shriller tones. It no longer was just a concern that needed watching. It became an imminent security threat that has to be dealt with right away. It also was the time when the administration's public statements about Iraq's weapons grew more distant from the intelligence on which they were supposedly based, said Thielman, who a month later retired from his job at the State Department, not in protest, but privately disturbed by what he later called the administration's sustained campaign of misrepresenting the intelligence on Iraq. The debate on invading Iraq effectively began with 2 days of hearings held by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on July 31st and August 1st. These discussions, with 18 experts on national security and the Middle East, spurred widespread discussion, most notably by sending Brent Scowcroft into public opposition to Bush administration policy on Iraq. So-called Republican realists, no fans of the neoconservatives, were alarmed by the shift they saw in the administration's posture. This group, which included many veterans of the first Bush administration, saw Colin Powell as its primary ally inside the government. Scowcroft, national security advisor to the first President Bush, staked out the realist position on CBS's Face the Nation, where he warned that a U.S. invasion of Iraq could turn the whole region into a cauldron and thus destroy the war on terrorism. A few days later, he made a more comprehensive argument on the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, a significant location because the journal's conservative editorial page sometimes acts like an internal bulletin board for Republican policymaking. Scowcroft's article appeared in the newspaper's edition of August 15, 2002, under the headline, "Don't Attack Saddam." "We will all be better off when he is gone," the retired general and Bush family confidant began. But he wanted to know what the case was for doing so at the moment. There was scant evidence to tie Saddam to terrorist organizations, and even less to the September 11 attacks. What's more, there is little evidence to indicate that the United States itself is an object of his aggression. So, Scowcroft methodically proceeded, attacking Iraq would undercut the U.S. counteroffensive against terrorism. Some of his secondary points were prescient, such as his prediction that a military campaign very likely would have to be followed by a large-scale, long-term military occupation. Others were less so, such as his concern that a cornered Saddam would hit Israel with weapons of mass destruction, possibly provoking a nuclear response. Scowcroft was most worried by the regional effects. His bottom line? If we reject a comprehensive perspective, however, we put at risk our campaign against terrorism as well as stability and security in a vital region of the world. In the following days, Republican mandarins Henry Kissinger and James Baker issued their own warnings to President Bush. A spate of cautionary articles echoing Scowcroft's concerns also appeared in the following weeks in publications aimed at military professionals.